up to Rishonim Day, Parak Chaf Zayin, the last parak of Vayikra. And the truth is, on the page, there's really not much here. There's Rashi, there's a few Rambans. In my Mikras Gedolos, much of the space is taken up by the recording of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos. Some of the mitzvos here are mentioned in the Rambam, and they're brought in, and he sorts of collects them and puts them on the bottom here. But in the standard Mikras Gedolos, those don't exist. But there is, I guess, two, really one very important Ramban, really like one of the, say, top 10 Rambans, probably, something like that, in terms of its popularity. And then there's a couple of other things over the course of the parak, and I guess that should probably fill up our time. So we have the Ramban in the very beginning of the parak. Now, there is an odd order that we have. We pointed this out when we started last week, and that is the Parshas Bahar deals with the Mitzvah Tullius Bahar. It deals with Shemitah, deals with Yovel, deals with things like that. Then you have the Tochacha. Then you have the beginning of the Chukosai, which seems to be this idea of all the, if you do the mitzvahs, they're wonderful, and if you don't do the mitzvahs, they'll be terrible, and that's Parakhav Vav. And then Parakhav Zion seems to be back to Parakhav Hei stuff. We seem to be going back into quasi mitzvah to Luis Ba'aretz. It has the mitzvah of Arachin and the mitzvah and the halachos surrounding those that sanctify land, things of that nature. So why is it that the Tocha, I would think the Tocha would be an excellent ending to Vayikra. We had this sefer filled with mitzvos. If you do them, great. If you don't do them, not great. And I would have ended the parak that way. And I would have put this in paragraph A. I would make this paragraph Zayin, paragraph Vav, paragraph Vav, paragraph Zayin. So why is it that the order is as it is? So the Ramban writes, there's not much to on the page to talk about. The Ramban writes, Gamzu Parsha Devuka. This Parsha is also connected. Shehaisa Bahar Sinai, Mechuberes El HaTochachos. That is also happened by Har Sinai, and it is connected to the Tochacha. Kihi B'mishpate Hayovel, Kamoshe Hiskir B'makish Sade Makte V'Sade Yachuzah. And also has to do with the halachos regarding the Yovel. Now, what does that have to do with the Tochacha? So much of the Tochacha were alluding to issues of Shemitah, that there are a lot of connections between Shemitah, the lack of observance of the Shemitah, and then the Tochacha that is described specifically in Parshas B'chukosai, that there is an idea that the 70 years of first that Tochacha B'chukosai is related to the destruction of the first base of Mikdash, and there were 70 years of Gullus between the first and second base of Mikdash, corresponding to the 70 yovels that weren't observed. There's a whole issue, what does that mean, they weren't observed? 70 yovels means how many... 70 times 7 equals, right, 350 years worth of Shemitahs not being observed. That's a lot of years. So what does that mean exactly? So I think we gave a shot on that when we learned it. But there's a lot of connections there. So the Ramban says, yeah, this is good as well. Meaning this also has to do with Shemitah and Yovel. So therefore, this is also going to be connected to the Tochacha. But it's after. That was before, and this is after, but it's connected. So it leads one into another. And therefore it says at the end, all of these that were mentioned above, that from here and onwards, we will be discussing the mitzvahs of, from here and onwards, the mitzvahs are from the Ohel Moed. What does it mean, from the Ohel Moed? They're the mitzvahs that Moshe was given from in the Ohel Moed, as opposed to from Har Sinai. That Vayikra is all Har Sinai mitzvahs, and, well, Bamidbar has some mitzvahs, but mostly Devarim are Ohel Moed mitzvahs. That's what the Ramban says here. That's an interesting perspective. What does that mean with regards to the mitzvah? We just read 71 mitzvahs in Kitetze. So when were those given? Those weren't given in Har Sinai. So the Ramban seems to be saying, yeah, that they weren't. They weren't given in Har Sinai. They were directly given from Hashem to Moshe in the Mishkan. Certainly comes straight from Hashem, but not necessarily part of the text that was specific, that was actually on Har Sinai. That seems to be the position of the Ramban. Yeah.
You say these mitzvahs are...
I mean, at the end of the parak concludes with the words, and the sefer concludes with the words, these are the mitzvahs that Hashem commanded Moshe, which Hashem commanded to tell Moshe to Bnei Israel on Har Sinai. And the Rabban is saying, yeah, these, meaning until that point, until Perchav Zayin, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, those were all her Sinai mitzvahs.
This isn't dealing with why these are after the Torah.
No. No, the Ramban is the Ramban sort of avoids that question. The Ramban doesn't seem to deal with that particular issue. He's just adding it. So he's really, the Ramban is saying two things. Says, number one, this is connected to the Tochacha, because Tochacha has to do with Shemitah and Yovel, and this has to do with Shemitah, Yovel, land things like that. And then the end of the parak is Eila Mitzvos, meaning this is then a dividing line. From here and onwards, from Bamidbar and onwards, are things that were given along the way in the Heichal. I don't think all Rishonim agree with that, but that's what the Ramban says. So the Kli Yakar on this page then adds in, yeah, okay. So Smach Parsha Zu Leklalus Lomar She Yisrael Nodrim Be'ez Tzara Ki Yaakov. So that this is connected to the Klalus to tell you that what does Yisrael do when they have difficult circumstances? They take Nedarim. They take extra things upon oneself. And this Perek is in fact entirely optional things. So Nodr Be'ez Tzara Ki Yaakov Shahaya Nodr Be'ez Tzara Litin Ma'aser Hakol. That Yaakov, when he was in his Ace Tzara, that he took a ned there about giving Ma'aser. That the text describes it, but in the beginning of Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov was running away from Esav, so he makes this offer to Hashem, he says, if you return me to the place, I'll do all these wonderful things. And included in there is an allusion to, or perhaps with a source of, the idea of giving Ma'aser Ksafim, of giving one-tenth of one's money. It's a question what that is. I mean, what is the obligation? Or, I mean, obligation might be tipping one's hand. What is the idea of giving one-tenth of one's money to tzedakah? That should be the giving what we refer to as ma'aser ksafim. So there's all three possibilities are out there. It's in the Raisa, in the Rabbanan, or it's a minug. I think most assume, from my tradition, from my rebbein, is that it is considered to be a minug. But that's actually, that idea plays in well with this kliyakar, that Yaakov there took a neder, as he was in an Eis Tzara. So this perek is the perek of nedarim, meaning the perek of hey are the requirements, perek of vav are you're going to get in trouble if you don't keep those requirements, and perek of zayin is so when you're in trouble you take extra things upon oneself. This is a little bit different than the pshat of Rav Hirsch that I didn't find in Rav Hirsch itself, but that is actually found in the Stone Chumash. In the Stone Chumash, he raises this question of why is this in this order, and he says because the perek of vav is retribution for the required things that you didn't do. Don't think you're going to get that retribution for optional things. Because in Parak of Zion are optional things. It's extra things that a person wants to give to the Beis HaMikdash. The idea of giving erchin, the idea of giving one's worth, the idea of giving someone else's worth, the idea of being makdish fields, things like that, all of them are optional. So Rav Hirsch says, if you don't do the optional things, you're not going to get the curse. If you don't do the required things, that's when you will. So the flip side of that, they almost work together. So that's Rav Hirsch, and then that plays into the Kli Yakar saying that, but as a result of bad things that come upon you, it's worthwhile to take upon extra things, which is what is being alluded to over the course of this parak. Now he continues on and says, but realize avalo ki Yaakov mikolako, but it's not entirely like Yaakov. Why? Ki Yaakov gam achar she'avra hatzara lo sar min haderach hatov. That when Yaakov, even when the Eis Tzara ended, when difficult time ended, he didn't believe the things that he took on. I don't know how the Kli Yakar knows that, what he's alluding to. But he said, Yaakov, yeah, he accepted things upon oneself, and then kept them even beyond the difficult period had ended. However, Valador Zeb, in our generation, Darchem Kesal Lamo, Shinodrim Be'ez Saru Vavur Sofat Saru Vatsuka, Him Mischaratim Vishavim Lasuram. He says, but nowadays, when people have difficult things, they take upon extra things, and when the difficult period ends, they push off those things. They don't bother continuing them. And he probably gives examples of it. It's unclear how critical the Kli Yakar is of that practice. Meaning, is it that Yaakov's a massive tzaddik and we're just not like Yaakov? Or is it Yaakov did what the right thing was and we're not keeping up to what the right thing is? I'm not sure what the Kli Yakar is criticizing or not. But that is the has to do with the beginning of the parak. Okay. Now we could go towards the end of the parak. So the end of the parak in Pasuk Chavtes. So the beginning of Shvi. So what did we learn in the beginning of Shvi? So it says, Kol cheirem asher yacharam mina adam lo yipadeh. That any cheirem which was mecharim, anything that was set aside, from a person shall not be redeemed. Most you must, because he's dying. What is that talking about? What was the question? What even the words mean of that pasuk? So Rashi gives the pshat that, oh, I'll tell you what it's talking about. Hayotzi liharig. This whole perek, this mitzvah is actually talking about somebody who's going out to be killed. Meaning he's on his way to being executed by Beis Din. Va'amar echar archo alai. And somebody said, oh, I'll give his value to Beis Din, or to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara Paskins, Lo Amar Klo. That's a meaningless statement, because that guy that's being let out to die is worthless at that point, right? He's already said that he's considered as if he's dead already. So most Yumas Rashes are Rehu Holy Chlamos. He's already going out to die. Lo Fichach Lo Yipada Ein Lo Lo Damim Velo Erech. Therefore, you can't be poda to him because he doesn't have value. He doesn't have. He's not worth money, and he doesn't have a value. So that's Rashi's pshat in the pasuk. Again, it's a difficult read in the verse itself. How does Rashi know that's pshat? Well, that's the Gemara. The Gemara itself learns that out, right? But literally, it's translated here. Actually, how's it translated in your in Stone Chumash pasuk Chavtes? It says any condemned person. Ah, very good. So that's following Rashi's pshat, right? It doesn't say that in the Hebrew, right? Kol chayrim doesn't say any condemned person. In fact, in the Ramban Chumash that I have for the Aras Ramban, it's translated as any condemnation that has been condemned from mankind shall not be redeemed. He shall be put to death. So he takes out the word man, and that's following the Peshat of the Ramban. It's interesting. The Art Scroll, if you would open up, right, the Art Scroll Stone Chumash or the Art Scroll Rashi Chumash or the Art Scroll Ramban Chumash, you would think the translation would be the same. But the translation is different in all of them, because the Stone Chumash is following sort of a conglomeration of Peshatim. The Rashi Chumash, the translation, not the translation of the Mefarish, but the translation of the Chumash itself, is following Rashi's Peshat, and apparently in the Ramban Chumash, he's following the Ramban's Peshat. Why the Ramban gives a totally different pshat, then goes off and discusses an interesting, although tragic story that we find in Math that Len might be an expert in, because it's the end of Shoftim that we learned in the Navi Shir a couple of months ago. So the Ramban says here, yeah, Haliot. Arsul, sure. Yeah. It's in the library. Yes, he also says the Baal Turim Chosh. That would be hard to translate according to the Baal Turim. And I actually saw anybody. I get Art Scroll email. Art Scrolls email. They announced this. It's every Mosi Shabbos, they send it an email. So every Mosi Shabbos, they announced their new project, Tosfos. So the Art Scroll Tosfos is coming out. Yeah, Makos. Yeah. All right. So. Okay, so kol chayr mashiach yecharam min adam. So it says there about hayotzi liharik va'amar echad erko alai. Lo Amar Klum. That somebody is just calling Rashi, or anybody who's going out to be killed and says, oh, his value, he hasn't said anything. Most Yumasare, you holy Chlamus Levich Lo Yifta, in Lo Damim Velo Veloer. Therefore, he doesn't have any value. That's the language of Rashi. You ever seen Nechlechu Bedavar, but Yeshmeh Maor Mishu was Haru Lechaibe Misos, Shein Lochim Mehen, Kofir Lepatron. That the Gemara itself, he said that's the language of Rashi, but if you look in the Gemara, some of them give a different Pshat the Pasuk. Some of them say that it's referring to. That it's a prohibition, those who are subject to death, that they can't accept a ransom to set them free. I mean, Beis Din can't be bought off. And once the person is going to be Chayav Misa, so that's it. He's off, and we're not going to accept any value for him. So both of those, both of them could be right, as the Rabban will say at the end. There are a couple of psukim in the Torah that we seem to learn several mitzvahs out from. And this perhaps is one of them, that both of them could be correct. But anyways, so it continues there about it says, "V'talking shehiskir zevikan lomar shelo yitin mamun l'shem kishar hacharam v'yifatir." That a person shouldn't be able to give money and for this purpose, and like other charamim, and then be exempt. I mean, you can't just pay it off. You gotta actually go through with it, and that's how it fits into the parak. The Rabban says, "V'alderech pshat." But here is the pshat: Yomar akosuf ki kol hamacharim mishelo bein adam bein behema v'sadach u'sohu kodesh l'Hashem. He says that anything that is macharim is kadosh, is now sanctified for Hashem. Shehein charamim lekohanim ve'ein lehem pidyon. Means they are set aside for kohanim, Ve'in lehem pidyon. They don't have a way, and you can't redeem them. Aval ha-machrim min ha-adam she'enu shalo. But if somebody is machrim from a person, that's not his stuff. Kagon ha-nilchamim al-oyveim. For instance, a person who is warring against their enemies. Ve'nodrim neder, and they make a neder. Im nason titen es amazeh biyadi. And they make a nether saying, if you give this nation into our hands, I will be macharim their cities. Yamusu kol ha'adam enimseh. What does that mean? So normally, when we learn the Chumash, this is, I think, from Parshas Skukas, that's when they're going to war with, I guess, Agag, I think. So he makes that statement. So I think we want to think about it as meaning, yeah, all of the booty that is collected is going to be macharim to Hashem. Says the Ramban, yeah. Not what it means. That's part of what it means. But also what it means is you're going to kill everybody that you come across, that they are all machrim. V'atam she'in das hanoder kein l'teis l'kohanim. They're thinking, the person making the neder, his das isn't, oh, I want to go and get stuff and give it to the kohanim. Rakshiyah kol aser b'hana kiniskavin l'hachris ha'ovim l'chalosam. Rather, he's saying it's all going to be prohibited for benefit, but his kavana is to completely and utterly destroy the enemy. And what do we see? Umatzinu anshe yavish gilad she'avru al shvuas hakal v'lo bo el hamitzvah. That we actually see an incident of this at the very end of Shoftim. Now, the halacha is very difficult to learn, I think. It's very difficult to learn things out from Shoftim when the whole thrust of the book is telling you how bad the Jews are, right? How people are really doing terrible, dastardly, despicable things. But the Ramban seems to be taking the activities at the end of Shoftim, especially that story, which is known as like Israel as being at its low point, the story of Pelegish Begiva, and he's learning out halacha. He's saying they acted accordingly. They did the right thing according to halacha. What is he talking about? So akav lobo alamit. So v'kusiv, and it says v'yishlechu shama ida shnimasar elafish mivnei achayel v'yisvu somli mor l'chu v'achitem es yoshvei yavish gilad l'ficharev. They were going to go and destroy the people of yavish gilad according to sword. Ve'ein asfar no senes she'asu kol eido ra kazos lahamis anashim rabim miyisrael she'inim chayim misa. Right? And so it doesn't make sense that everybody did terrible things that they required to be killed. U'pinchas hayasham ve'al piv nas, and Pinchas was with them, and therefore they were doing things based on Pinchas. So what are we talking about here? So what happened in the story of Pelegish Begiva? There was a man who was traveling, and he stayed in this town, and of course, of his stay in the town, his wife was taken, his wife was raped, and his wife ultimately died, and therefore he took his wife and cut her up into pieces, sent her out around the country, saying, this is the terrible things that the people of Binyamin are doing. Everybody needs to come and take a vengeance against the Shevet of Binyamin. Incidentally, it's another example. That idea that he sent out body parts to the whole land, trying to get everyone's attention. So Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe was asked if it's appropriate when the hafkanos, when the protests were taking place with regards to autopsies, forced autopsies. So the question was raised: is it appropriate to bring actual body parts to these hafkanot, to these protests? So Rav Moshe brought a proof from this. Guy, right? You see, he did it, and it worked, and it riled everyone up, and therefore he said that it's appropriate. Now, I think Rav Moshe in that tshuva, I didn't look it up for today, I believe he does acknowledge that it's a little difficult to learn things out from the end of Sefer Shoftim, and therefore he brought other proofs as well. But anyways, Rav Moshe does, it's another example of using rayas here. So there was a people, there was a group, the Yavish Gilad, that didn't come. So to do this. So then they turned their wrath onto Yavish Gilad, this group of Jews that had come to avenge the death in Gilad, then turns around in Yavish Gilad, and then go and attack Yavish Gilad. And they went, and they destroyed, they killed people from Yavish Gilad. So did they actually deserve it? Did all of those people, were all of them so evil, and they deserved it? So Ramban continues on and says, "Va'od matzasi ba'gad." That we also find a medrash. Tanya Rabbi Kiva Omer Hachirim Hu Hashvua VaHashvuas Hu Hachirim. That Hachirim means Shvua, and Shvua means Hachirim. Anshi Yavish Avru Al Hachirim B'nischayvu Misem. Because the people of Yavish violated the Chirim, they're Chayiv Misa. What's he talking about? Where did that come from? So therefore, the Ramban says, "Well, Kachani Omer Kiminak Kasuv Hazef." From here, from this pasuk, Right, that's my pshat on the pasuk, says the Ramban. From this pasuk, it says Yatzalem hadin hazesh shekol melech biYisrael or Sanhedrin gedola, that any king of Israel or Sanhedrin gedola b'maymud kol Yisrael, that is established by the Jews, sheishan rishus b'mishpat, that they have permission in the law, im yachrimu al ir leilachem aleha, if they set aside a city to battle against them, they could. Right, v'chein im yachrimu al davar, they have chirim on a specific thing. Ha'over alav chayev misa, that if you violated your chayev misa, v'uchiyuvan shel anshe Yavish Gilad, and that is what the people of Yavish Gilad were chayev for. They weren't chayev for not coming to war. They were chayev for violating the chirim of those who didn't come to war. And who imposes that chirim? So think about that story. There was no Sanhedrin that we could tell. There's no shofet at that time. There's no king. Who's in charge? Who's making that chirim? The Jewish people make that chirim. And ultimately, those bodies, Sanhedrin, kings, things like that, their power anyways is emanating from the Jewish people. And therefore, they have the right, says the Ramban, to impose this. So what were they chayev on? The people of Yavish Gilad, what were they chayev misa for? Says the Ramban, they were chayev morid b'malchus. And we have this idea that when we see that comes often very regularly as we're going through the Navi Shir and Shmuel, we'll see that that becomes a major theme. As somebody's Chayev Morid Malchus. I always wonder, the Gemara talks about somebody could be Chayev Morid Malchus, Chayev Misa. Morid Malchus is undermining the king. Somebody who undermines the king is Chayev Misa. I always wonder, where is the source for that in the Chumash? So Ramban says, this is the source. This pasuk called Chayev Asher Yecharam Mina Adam Lo Yifdeh Most Yumas. And anybody who imposes this, that something is under a chayrim for people, you shouldn't be redeemed. And if you do, you're put to death. What's that talking about? It's talking about a king, or the Jew, the king who imposes something, that type of penalty. And he continues on as well. Similarly, Yehonasan as well. Yehonasan, the son of Shaul, is also listed as being Morid B'Malchus. He talks about himself as being Morid B'Malchus. Why is that? Because he was Morid B'Malchus, right? So he rebelled against his father, who was the king. So that's, and this is the source of that of that power. V'zayat ha'uso shal yiftach b'visa. When he continues on, he's covering all of the many of the problematic issues over the course of Shoftim. The Ramban elsewhere as well deals with issues in Shoftim. Parshas Vayishlach, I think, is where he talks about the story of Pilegesh Megiva. But the Ramban continues on as well. It says, this was the mistake that Yiftach made with his daughter. What was the story with Yiftach and his daughter? Do you remember? The story of Yiftach and his daughter. So Yiftach was victorious in war, and as a promise he said, the next thing that comes out of that house, I'm going to offer to Hashem. And he's thinking that it was going to be something as a korban, ended up being his daughter. And the Navi is vague as to what actually happened in this case. Did Yiftach actually kill her? Did she actually die? Or is she... The pasuk continues on. She says, give me some time in seclusion. So she goes off into seclusion. And then the Navi is somewhat ambiguous as to what happens there. So some assume that, yeah, she went into seclusion. She lived the rest of her life out like as a hermit someplace. And the Ramban, as we'll see, says, no, that can't be. It must be that he actually went ahead and did it. So this is the mistake of Yiftach. Why? Kichash v'kasher charam nagid Yisrael chal v'kim lahamis hanashim o over al chramo chayim misa. Kini neder be'is melchama. That because he thought that just as the chayim of a ruler of Israel is chal, he could kill people, or one who violates his chayim would be chayim misa. Similarly, if you're taking neder at the time of war, lasus mi'isho anashim zevach yachol aneder, to take a korban, so the neder would be chal. V'lo yad, he didn't realize ki chayim ha-melech v'sanhedrin chal al ha-mordim l'chalosam, o over gizirasam v'taknasam, that the power of the melech and the Sanhedrin is on those that rebel, on those that undermine their law, or one who violates their rules. About lachol haneder lasos ola medaber she'in roi lashem chas v'chalila. But to take a neder that you're going to offer as an ola something which isn't roi, that you can't do. So, but the mistake of Yiftach was is that he thought his power even went on anybody. Maybe he could say, oh, I'm going to put someone in chayrim, and they're going to be liable to death. But that's not their power. Their power is to take care of, though, either to take specific items, or to take those that are undermining them. But that was the mistake of Yiftach, and Yiftach actually went ahead, it sounds like, and did it, as he, I think, says a little bit later on. But he says, Ba'altia nifta behevle reish aleph. Who's that? The Ibn Ezra. Don't fall for the mistakes, the havalim, the heir, so to speak, of the Ibn Ezra, who says, Ki perish valiyasa ola. Balisenu Ola, that she was separated, and therefore, you know, by going off of being a hermit, she was considered to be an Ola. O Bahalisehu, Lomar Imiyeha Yotzi Midali, Beta Isho Isha, Bahayala Hashem Kodesh, Haya Perish Midarche Om, Lamul Shariz Hashem Hashem Matifla Hokislav. That, yeah, she became sort of separated for Hashem, and that he separated her out, and she lived on her own, things like that. He said, that's not true. Let's skip a little bit. Ela Divrei Ruach, Ki Im Neder Shiye Lashem, In Enu Shiye Perish. Right, his nether was that she would be for Hashem. It wasn't. You would have to maybe more specific, right? If she would be like Shmuel. Shmuel said, "Benasativ laHashem by a misharis beveis Hashem." Right, when this is actually, we learned this in Navi this past week, right? That Chana, when she was davening for Shmuel or to become pregnant with Shmuel, she said, "I will take him and I will offer him to Hashem, and he will serve in the house of Hashem." Meaning, she was specific about what was going to be with Shmuel, as opposed to Yiftach. Yiftach wasn't specific about what would be with her, implying that she actually would be a korban. Right? We don't see this idea anywhere out there that they would go out there and be separated, and that would consider it to be like an ola. Right? It doesn't make sense that they would offer Nobody talks about them having a mourning period for her. It wouldn't make sense they would just have a mourning period for her just because she decided to go out on her own. About the davar kipshuto, right? Rather, says the Ramban, the davar is as seems to be in the pasuk that he actually put her to death. V'ta'usu hayim eshamarti, and the taus, the mistake was, as I said earlier. And he says, we have many different understandings of this pasuk. The Ramban continues on and says, yeah, there are many understandings of this pasuk. We have, and he goes ahead and gives other examples of psukim in the Torah, where the Gemara then learns out five halachos out of that pasuk. Right? And they're all considered dini d'oraisa, so even though they're all being learned out from the same thing. The Ramban says, that's okay, and that's the halacha that I think that one learns out from the pasuk. So at the end, when the dust settles, there seems to be three halachos that are learned out from this pasuk. Number one, that somebody who tries to claim the era, somebody who tries to claim the value of a person who's being led out to his death, that is a meaningless statement. Number two, says the Ramban, quotes from the Gemara that says that a person doesn't have the right to redeem someone who was put to death. You can't pay money in order to get the person off the hook, literally, right? You need the person, if the person's put to death, they have to be put to death. And number three is this din of the Ramban, the idea of Morid B'Malchus, that a person who violates a chirim of Klal Yisrael, Mos Yumas, will be put to death, and that would be the idea of a kingship, and that's how the Ramban concludes his parak, except for the Ramban then adds a poem. The Ramban, at the end of the different Svarim, he adds a little poem to the end of his Sefer. And here is how the poem goes. He says, V'nishlam Sefer Torah ha-Kohanim v'karbenosam u'mitzvasam. We have hereby concluded the book of the Torah's Kohanim and their mitzvos, as well as the karbanos and the mitzvos. Yeshovev el elyon dvarim lahavyasam, that Hashem should return things to the way they were. Levim l'shiran v'kohanim l'apodasam, the Levim should be able to go to their song, and the Kohanim should be able to do the service. Yisrael el nevei etan, and the rest of the Israel should be to a secure to security in their land. Inenu tirena Yerushalayim ginas bisan, may our eyes behold Yerushalayim, the courtyard of the palace. Armon al mishpato heichal u'viral mechonasan, the palace standing on its rightful place, the Beis Hamikdash and the Kodesh HaKadoshim on their foundations, uvenos Yehuda v'shalvasam, and the daughters of Yehuda being in peace. The I see here in a footnote that the Benos Yehud is a reference to the cities. Not that the girls should be in peace, but that people living in the cities should be at peace. Varva Lashem Mincha Yudav Yerushalayim Kvelo Shein Kam Ben Yos, they made the offerings of Yehud and Yerushalayim pleasing to Hashem as they were back in the day. Ya'alu al Ritzo, that's actually the from my Bar Mitzvah Torah. Ya'alu al Ritzon Mizvecho Timidim Kisidron U'musafim Kilchasam. Offered upon with favor upon his altar will the daily offerings according to the fixed procedure, the Muslim offerings according to their rules, that everything should be according as it was, and that thus is the, which is actually right, where does he get that from? That should be familiar to us. That language comes from the Tzil's Musaf on Yom Tov, that Midim Kesidran Musaf and Kehil Hasan. So we hope that the many mitzvahs that we've learned over the course of Ayikra, some which are not so applicable as Manazah, they should go back to be applicable Kishadim as they did in the past. All right, Yashikov, we'll continue a couple of things.